This evening we come to consider John chapter 15 and verse 5, where the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." In reading those familiar words, "I am the vine, you are the branches," you'll realise that this is the seventh of the famous "I am" sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we find in John's Gospel. I want to take the slight risk of being over-repetitive, because this is the seventh, and I'll put these "I am"s in the context of all the others. First of all, in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the bread of life," because he is the Saviour for those who are spiritually starving. In chapter 8, he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness," because he is the Saviour for those who spiritually are blind. In chapter 10, he said, "I am the door," and he said, "I am the good shepherd," because he is the door for those who are spiritually excluded and need to come to the Father through him. "I am the good shepherd," because the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He is the Saviour of those who are lost and need rescue and protection. In chapter 11, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life," because he is the Saviour for the spiritually dead. And those of us who belong to him know that we were spiritually dead until new life poured into our souls. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," for those who see their need and seek direction to come to the Father, to God, for salvation. He says, "I am the vine," which we're considering tonight, for those who simply don't belong. They simply don't belong. He's the Saviour of those who just don't belong, and he draws them in and makes them members of his people. Now, the Lord Jesus has, in these two chapters prior to this, 13 and 14, assured his disciples that even though he's going away, his death, and then his resurrection, but then 40 days later he would ascend and go back to heaven, nevertheless, they won't be alone. He'll be with them, particularly through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that's a great comfort to those who want to know, should we come to the Saviour? Should we seek him? How can we ever last as Christians? We don't have the strength. Well, you have the Holy Spirit when you come to Christ, and he comes and lives in you, and he gives you the desire, the will to live for him. So now he gives the seventh of the "I am" sayings. It's a picture they would have been more familiar with than you or I. I've got a friend who told me a few years ago that he grows vines in his garden, grape vines, and I don't know too many people that do. We're more familiar with the vineyards overseas, aren't we, or certain parts of this country where we know that grapes are grown. But both Isaiah and Jeremiah in the Old Testament referred to the vine as a picture of the people of Israel. The Lord says, when in the passage we read from Jeremiah, that he planted a good vine, but it's become a degenerate, failed vine. And that is the people of Israel, the Old Testament church, if you like. And so Isaiah says the same thing. He talks about his vineyard, the Lord's vineyard, which he tended. And it's noticeable that in our text, in verse 5, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the vine," but the very first verse of the chapter he says, "I am the true vine. I'm not the degenerate one. I'm not the vine that has failed and lapsed into just endless repetitions and ceremonies, the Pharisees and the priests of his day. No, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman," or the vine dresser. So the Lord Jesus assures his disciples, he is the vine, and those who belong to him are the branches of the vine. It's interesting, when children of a very young age draw a tree, what do they draw? Well, they draw a trunk and they put sticks on the side. And that's the branches. And they say, no, that's the trunk. They're the branches. It's a tree. Can't you see it's a tree? And they tell us it's a tree. It's not a very accurate type of picture, is it? You wouldn't expect it. Even less so with the vine. Because with the vine is basically branches. It's not like an oak tree with a solid trunk and then the branches growing from it, not stuck on the side, but growing from it. The vine is basically branches. Look at a fully grown vine in a vineyard or a garden, and you can't tell where the branches end and the trunk begins, or vice versa. It's all branches. So Jesus wasn't simply saying, here am I, I'm the vine, and you are joined on to me. He was saying, you're all part of me. My life lives through you. And this is the vine, the church of Jesus Christ, the real church, not the outside church, not those who just go through the motions, but the real church of those who love the Lord and live for him and have their lives changed by him. Here am I, he says, the vine, and you're all part of me. My life lives through you. All the fruit of the vine is on the branches. And so he introduces us to the divine vine dresser, or husbandman, that's the old fashioned word for it. We still call it husbandry, don't we, today? Nothing to do with marriage, it's to do with looking after plant life. It's Jesus introduces this great analogy, or I suppose we could say metaphor, simply introducing two main features or characters. In verse 1, you have a vine and you have someone responsible for caring for it. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. So, a vine dresser, the husbandman. The vine can't just be left to itself to grow. In any vineyard in Greece or Spain or wherever you happen to go, there are those who are appointed and paid to look after and tend the vines. They need looking after, they need digging around, they need pruning. So in order to care for a vine, you need a husbandman, a vine dresser. And Jesus says here that he is the vine growing in this world, producing fruit through his people, but it's the Father, God the Father, who has his eye constantly on the vine, tending it. In this vine, there are two sorts of branch. He's talking here, using the analogy of the church, of the outward church that people see. There are false branches and true branches. There are those that don't bear fruit, and there are those that do bear fruit. And it's a fact that the vine dresser will cut away those that are not bearing fruit, because they're still taking life out of the soil. They're still drawing from the goodness, but they're just not producing the fruit. There's something inherently wrong with them. So you get rid of them and there's more to go around the branches that are bearing fruit. So in this true vine, in this vine, this outward vine, there are two. There are branches that don't bear fruit and there are branches that do. He's clearly speaking about the vine as people see it. And our purest concept of the vine as a picture of the Lord Jesus and his people is that only true believers can truly be said to be branches in the vine. But the Lord is painting a wider picture, and he's including those who only appear to be Christians. And he's saying, what happens to those who only appear to be Christians? They say they're Christians, maybe they're churchgoers, maybe they contribute to the church in some way, but if their hearts are not right with God, if they've never been born again, he says, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So the Father separates away from the true vine in eternal values those that don't really belong. And that's what we're saying. The Lord Jesus is the vine because he is the saviour of those that don't really belong. And he can rescue them. And he can make them part of the living vine. So Jesus warns, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. God the Father cuts them out so that you have a true vine with true born-again Christians bearing fruit for Christ. The Lord knows them that are his, is to be found in the scriptures. So we have the appearance, the branch that beareth not fruit. And it's a sad fact, there are many churchgoers who are not born-again Christians. I say it's sad, it's good that we do have people that will go to church who are not born-again Christians so that they can hear the message. It's an honest thing to do, it's a good thing to do, to be open and to come and to seek the Lord and to find what it is that we're missing in life. One of the considerations that a gospel preacher has, to let you in on a secret, not a very well kept secret, he takes into account this, that you may look out upon your congregation and maybe there are 40 or 50 people in the congregation and they're all professing Christians. And so he thinks to himself, well, I've prepared a gospel sermon to persuade people to become Christians and here are these people and they're all professing Christians. I should have prepared a sermon for Christians, not for unbelievers, for those who've not yet come to faith. But then he remembers, are they all possessing Christians? They all profess, but do they possess? Do they have that spiritual life? And so he always knows when he preaches that there may be people there that only appear to be Christians. Maybe they put up a very good appearance. They dress in the right way. They say the right things, but they're not truly branches that bear fruit in the vine. Maybe there's one. Maybe there's more than one who are not truly born again, so it's worth preaching the gospel message. They've heard the word, they've been challenged, but they haven't let go of the world. They haven't said, I'm following Christ now, the world behind me, the cross before me. Jesus warns, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away, the Father takes away. God the Father cuts them out, so that you have a true vine with true Christians. The Lord knows them that are his. What about the branch that bears fruit? Well, this is the living branch. There's life in it. That's the thing about being a true Christian. It's not just something that you adopt. It's not just something you say, well, you know, I used to believe this, but now I think I'm going to believe this, and I'll try and believe something slightly different tomorrow. No, this is the real living branch when Christ comes and dwells in your heart, and the Spirit of God is in you. And you know that you're different, you've been changed. This represents a man or woman or child who has seen their need. Spiritually starving, spiritually blind, spiritually excluded. So they hear the gospel and they seek Christ. They call on him to save them and he becomes for them the bread of life. And he becomes the light of the world for them. And he becomes their door that they can go through in order to find the Father and to find peace and joy and salvation. They need to enter through that door. And they come to know Christ as the good shepherd who laid down his life for them. And they're ever grateful for the wonderful sacrifice. And they come to know Christ because they are dead in sin. And they realize that there is a whole new life, and as they listen to the gospel, new life floods into their souls and they're given the ability to believe, and they know they've been changed by the power of God. And they come alive, and the journey to the Father by the way, the truth and the life is underway. What else do they know? Well, they know that now they belong to Christ. They're part of his great body, which is in the earth, to use another analogy. They're like the branches in the vine, and they have saving faith. That's one of the fruits that grows on this vine, saving faith. Every day they know, they believe, they rejoice that the Saviour has died for them. They have peace. They know that peace, after all the restlessness and the uncertainty of life, they know the peace that comes with believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and having God as your Father. What else do they know? They know great joy. Joy in serving the Lord, in believing. These are just two or three of the fruits that grow upon the vine. And of course they have no more problems, do they? Well, yes they do. I made the mistake of saying that very early in my Christian life in an interview, that, oh yes, all my problems have gone. And somebody said, you don't know what's around the corner. And as a Christian, you have many problems, plenty of challenges, difficulties, many pains. Why? Well, because the Father is the vine dresser. He's purging the vine. When difficulties come our way and problems, and when opposition faces us, the Lord is purging us. He's teaching us lessons. He lives in us and he loves us, so he tests us and proves us. So anybody that's not a Christian that is thinking about seeking the Lord, don't think that you'll be brought into a life which is a bed of roses. Well, you will, but there are plenty of thorns in a bed of roses, aren't there? So the joy is there. The Father is the vine dresser. He's purging the vine. He proves you. He cleanses you. Why? So that you bring forth more fruit. Do you know, it became a practice, don't know if you would remember, some of you, but some of you will, 30 or 40 years ago, for some professing Christians to come out of their churches and leave their homes and go to live in a commune. There was one very infamous one which started in Bromley, in a warehouse in Bromley. And I remember people saying, why don't you come and live in this warehouse in Bromley? Be part of this. You don't have to rub shoulders with non-Christians every day. We're not meant to be like that. It all went wrong because we're meant to be in the world. But we're not meant to be of the world. We're meant to be there, though. It's when your unconverted friends mock you for your faith, when you find witness for Christ to be hard, that it results in what we read in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then the Lord Jesus says something else in verse 3. He says, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now you are clean. And it's because, for one thing, Judas Iscariot was gone. The 12 were there in the room, and Judas Iscariot has gone out and left. And so now Jesus has his true believing people. But he means more than that. He means that all true believers are clean because his blood has made us clean. When you come to Christ, all your sins are forgiven. Every transgression is cancelled out, and you will never be judged for them. They're never going to be raked up and brought again. Jesus says, you are clean. How are you clean? Well, it's through my word which I've spoken unto you. This is how he makes us clean. It's the truth of the gospel coming into our hearts that makes us trust in him and accept the cleanness of being washed in the blood of Christ. Jesus' very words have entered the minds of all of you who have turned to the Saviour. His blood would be shed the next day after these words. But it already counted for these people, and it counted for Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It counted for Abel, it counted for Moses, it counted for great Christian people who weren't called Christian people at the time in the Old Testament, and it counts for everybody up to the current day who has believed and trusted in Christ. His very words have entered our minds, and we're justified by faith. His word works in us and in all who truly repent and believe, as we read it, as we hear it, as we share it. But then he talks about a second concept. We've so far thought about the vine dresser, the work of the vine dresser. But now, abiding in Christ. He talks in these verses over and over again about abide in me and I in you. Every branch, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. If the branch was to somehow separate itself or become separated from the vine, it wouldn't continue growing. It's drawing its life from the life of the vine. Except you abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So he talks about abiding in Christ. Perhaps the most important little expression there is in Christ. He uses it several times here. Abide in me. If a man abide not in me, if you abide in me. And it's a favourite expression of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He describes Christian people as being in Christ. Think of what has to happen First of all, you have to realize you're outside of Christ before you can enter in and become in Christ and become one of the branches bearing fruit truly in Christ. Let me give you an Old Testament illustration of what it's like to be outside Christ. Say you don't live in today's day. Say you live in a day when the world has been created for a comparatively short time. But the corruption, the violence in the world is growing. There's one man who lives in your area who seems different. His name is Noah. And he lives with his wife and his three sons and their wives. And people respect him a little bit because he's always telling them that what they're doing is wrong and they should turn to the Lord and repent. And they maybe think he's a little bit crazy because he's not only telling them this, but he's building a boat hundreds of miles away from the nearest stretch of water, big enough for a number of people and lots of animals. You can see it if you look out of your window, and you stand there with the others and you laugh and you ridicule. Perhaps you know the sons or their wives. They weren't quite as spiritual and sincere as Noah. And you joke with them. You say, "Are you crazy like your father? The sea's miles away." Noah preaches, and you hear him say, "You must repent. You must take refuge in my boat." And you notice one day that it started to rain. And it's never done that before. And you realise rain is coming out of the sky, water. And you joke again, because people do joke about serious things because they don't understand them. "If it gets much worse, we'll need Noah's boat." They laugh. And you joke with your friends. But it does get worse. And you know, before long, the flood is growing. And you're up to your knees in water. And you start to panic a little bit. And just in case, you decide, "We'll go to the ark and take refuge in the ark." And so you do. But when you get there, God has closed the door. Noah didn't close it. None of the sons or the wives closed it. It's the only safe place to be in the ark, and you're outside. That's what it's like tonight, to be outside of Jesus Christ. It means there's no hope because the door is now closed. Have you left it so late that you can't become in Christ? I pray not. And then once in, you have to stay in. The Lord makes sure that you do if you're truly converted. Once you know you're part of the vine, one of his branches, you don't just get on with all the pleasures of life and say, "Well, at least I'm saved, I can enjoy my sin now. Feed my appetites." No, you find you have a desire to grow in Christ, to be fruitful for him, to be part of his people, to be always found hearing the word of God. That's what it means to abide in Christ. You attend the means of grace, which sounds awfully religious, but it really means the doctrine, the teaching of the apostles, the teaching of the word of God. You attend to that and you learn it. And you can't afford to miss a sermon. Certainly once a week doesn't seem enough. Fellowship. You want to be with believers, talking to them, listening to them, sharing the word with them. Breaking of bread, that's another means of grace. Regularly as a Christian, shouldn't be doing it if you're not a Christian, but regularly going over the sacrifice of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then prayer. That's the four means of grace: the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. You pray constantly, all day, when possible with others. That's abiding in Christ. And then bearing fruit. We've already mentioned faith. You trust in Christ to save you. You don't get that without becoming a branch in the vine. Nobody that's not a true branch in the vine has any faith in Christ. He will guide you. He will use you for his service once you come to him. Love is one of the fruits. You know that you love Christ because it's a fruit that's growing in you. You love sinners. You want to see them saved, and especially you love the Lord's people and want to be with them. And then service, it's not just looking and what sort of job can I do in the church? It's a fruit which grows on you. You're part of the serving church of Christ. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart, says the word of God. And then suffering, that's a fruit. It's a means to help you bring forth fruit, but it's suffering in silence, bearing reproach, even persecution for Christ, patiently. But he's worth it. Look what he did for us. He died on the cross to save us. And joy and patience. If you want a comprehensive list, read Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. But our closing thought is much fruit. The same bringeth forth much fruit. Are you content as a Christian just to bring forth a little fruit? It's generally the person that just thinks they're a Christian that is content to bring forth a little fruit. Oh, I'll go along. I'll listen on Sunday. I don't need to actually think too seriously about this on a Monday or a Wednesday or a Friday morning or a Saturday afternoon. No, I'll just bring forth a little fruit. It probably means you've never come to Christ and believed in him. Never be content with just a show of fruit. Little tiny grapes. How do you make sure that verse 6 never happens to you? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. How do you make sure it never happens? Well, the answer is verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do that's of any great value. Even the greatest works you can do in the world, they don't last forever. Nothing you can do which will last is what the Lord is saying. Abide in Christ, get close. Much prayer, much of the word, much fellowship. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And finally, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what the Lord Jesus did for us. He laid down his life so that we might be saved, be forgiven, full pardon, and full access to God. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.